Okay, let's begin. We're up to page 382. We are in the middle of the Likutei Shas u'Midrash Hatanoim. We're up to Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis says Hinei Katan Nisaticha L'Vagoyim Bozu Yatov Ma'od. It says in the Medrash here that Avadya says about Edom. Edom is Bozu Ma'od. Okay, they are Katoin. They are Katoin and they're Bozu. They are small, and they are Katoin. What is the meaning of katoin? Katoin means they did not appoint a melech ben melech. In case we discussed this already at length, so let's go further. Let's go to the next. There is no more midrash chazal. We did command everything except for the chidah. Chidah is always my favorite. When I understand what he says, the Chidah on page 383, Chazoin the Chaimas Anoch. Chaimas Anoch, so he writes here, Chazoin Avadya, Le'edem Shemur Shaman, Meis Hashem, Efsha, Lirmois, Le'edem Gematria Af. The Gematria of Le'edoim with the Lamed is anger. Dirishoim Mahabch Midas Rachamim, Lemidas Adin. Zerush Omar Chosus, Koshe, Le'edoim. Af me'es Hashem. It's going to be anger. It's a remez. Hashem is angry at Edoim. What's the anger? The anger is Shehu rachamim af me'es Hashem. Even from Hashem. Chazoin avad yikoyim Hashem Elokim le'edoim. Even though Yudke Vavke is always associated with Midas HaRachamim, the wicked have the ability to turn the Midas HaRachamim into Midas HaDin. So even the Eis Hashem, even Hashem Yudkei Vavkei, which represents Rachamim, lo yigi after Edom, there will be nothing but anger. Kumav no kumav, kasu gurei harizal. The gurei, who are the gurei harizal? Who's that? Kasu, those are the students. Okay, the lions. A gur aria. Gur is a young lion. Gur aria. Why did Rafudim call a gur aria? It should be good. His dream was that it should be good for the young and the old. A gur is a baby lion, and an ari is an old lion. Oh. There should be synthesis between the young and the old.
So that's what Rav Kook had in mind.
That is dream, yes. So he said by his Mogur that when he founded the Kol, there's this famous speech. It's written up in the Mechtavim, the famous, well, all the speeches. I wonder if he actually has it. He put out a very, very, these very good books. What's his name? Article. He's published these coffee table books. Famous speeches, famous letters, famous all these famous things. He has some very beautiful letters. He has there a letter from Rav Chudner, famous speech. I don't think it's this one. I think it's a different one. Another speech he had. It's a very good book.
You get two volumes?
Three. I think he has three ready.
Desla, right?
Not Desla. No. He's Rashiv and Landers.
Who collects these things?
No, you have it over here. He's from Shivan Landers College. There it is. Right. That's it. Yeah. What's the name of the author? Bamberger, right. Rabbi Moshe Bamberger.
He's from the island.
People read three books. Great Jewish Classics. This is the third one. Classics. The first one was Great Jewish Speeches. Great Jewish Letters. That was the second one. And now he put out the third volume, the Great Jewish Classics.
The first name of Rabbi Ben, which one is his son or his son? I know an older man.
I don't know.
Much older.
I don't know.
They're Danish.
I don't know. I know he is. I remember he used to learn Chaim when I was. He used to learn Chaim Berlin. He's a Rashiva now. He's a Mashkiach. I think he's the official Mashkiach in Landers College in Queens. He used to learn. He learned Chaim Berlin. He's not a Chaim Berlin, but I mean, he learned in Beis Medrash for a couple of years in Chaim Berlin. And then he got married. He got a job. Yeah, he got a job. He got a job. I mean, he was first working in accounting. I don't know. Then he decided he quit. He decided it's not for him. He wants to get a job in learning, and he got this job. It's a very good job. He's a mashkiach in Landers College. How do I know him? Because I know him from Chaim Berlin, and I also know him from my uncle. My uncle is a rebbe in Landers College, and whatever. So there's a famous speech. A famous letter from Rav Chudner, and he talks about Gur Aryeh. Gur means the young lions, Aryeh, the old lions, And his dream was there should be a place to learn both for the young and the old, where they can draw off the milos of each other. So that's just right over here. Gur Aryeh, the Guri Ho'ari, means the people, the students, the young followers of the Ari. It says there in his Svarim, he writes here, Kuvud Akuma Kosu Guri Ho'ari Zal, Sefer HaLikutim, that's the name of the Sefer HaLikutim, with these from the students, Kumu V'Nakum B'Gematria Satan. These two words together, B'Gematria Satan, She'Hafech Le'Ele Oyev, that the world, all of the nations that will rise up against, will join together to rise up against Edom, will be an adversary. Satan literally means an adversary. Be a Satan, She'Hafech Le'Ele Oyev Adkan Divrehem. Forget about that. I'm going to that type of stuff. Let's go weiter. Base. Hineg katoin nesaticha perisha mefarshim b'kruas Yaakov chushim ben don b'kruas Yaakov. When Yaakov at his kvura, we know, everyone knows the famous story. Chushim ben don was deaf. And what did he do? Gesundheit? Karas, he cut off Rosh Esav. What was the story? There was a delay. They came to the Maris Machpelah, and Esav did not allow Yaakov Avinu to be buried in the Maris Machpelah, because he claimed it was his burial spot. It was his burial spot, so he did not allow the children to bury their father in the Maris Machpelah. He wanted that spot for himself. So what did they say? They said to Esav, I'm sorry, you sold the firstborn right to our father Yaakov, and that's it, you gave it up. So he said, no, I didn't. Prove it. Show me the deed. So they said, okay, we'll get it. So they sent Osher.
Naphtali,
Ayala Shulucha. Naphtali was very swift, and he sped off back to Egypt to retrieve the deed. In the meantime, Chush ben Don was sitting around, and he saw there was a delay. There was Bezoyin Hames. The body was not buried. And he said, "What?" Well, and he used sign language to ask, what is going on here? And they indicated in sign language that this fellow Esav is holding up the show. So what did he do? He took out his sword, and he chopped off Esav's head. Literally. And Chaim Shmulevitz asked, everyone's famous, Chaim Shmulevitz, how come only Chushim ben Don chopped off his head and no one else chopped off Esav's head? And Chaim Shmulevitz says, because everyone else, they were acclimated into this situation. Since they can hear and they can talk, so they right away, as they were traveling to Oris Machpelah from Egypt, they already were talking amongst themselves, Esav is going to prevent us from letting us bury our father in the Ma'aris Machpelah. And as they come, there's a roadblock, and this happens and that happens. So it was a very long process, where along the way, they were warned, and it got more serious and more serious of the situation. Chushim ben Don was deaf, so he didn't get any warnings. He didn't process there would be a problem. To him, it was a davar pashut ad ma'oy, that they would come to the Ma'aretz Machpelah, and in an instant, they would bury their father. He had no clue. When he heard that there was a problem, it was new. It was new. It was a shock. So he reacted in a violent way. He just, what kind of nonsense is this? Took out his sword, chopped off his head.
Doesn't sound like a compliment.
Sounds to me like he did in a davar. They wanted
not necessarily. Chazal don't say that. Chazal, you don't find anywhere in Chazal criticizing Chushim ben Don. It seems that Esav was a Rasha. Esav was Yedua, he was a Rasha. It was a Davar Pashut that this burial spot belongs to Yaakov Avinu. That was clear as day. And Esav was manipulating. He was manipulating and doing things illegal, engaging in illegal activity to stonewall, to delay the process. So a person who is a human being, you know, so if you do it gradually, you can manipulate his mind and you can leave me a delay. But the end of the day is, Esav is dead wrong. He's wrong. And when a person is presented with the hard facts in one shot, like Chushim ben Don, and did not go through this process of being manipulated, he sees things clearly as they truly are, takes out his sword and chops off Esav's head. obviously today you can't say something like that. You're bothered because today you can't, because today there's no such thing as clarity today. Today, even if you're presented with the raw facts, we live in a world where nothing is clear. But in those days, this was clear as the sun, that Yaakov Avinu belongs in the Ma'aris Machpelah, and Esav is out. Esav here is playing games, manipulating. What he's doing is 100% beyond the shadow of a doubt, illegal, wrong, deserving of death. A bizarre for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael really should have killed him on the spot, but they did not do so. It was because of Chaim Shulevitz says, because they were manipulated. Their minds were played with through a very long, slow process. Chush Ben Dan did not undergo that did not go through this process because he was deaf. He was presented on a moment's notice with the hard facts. It was clear as day what the MS is, and he took legal action. Today, obviously, someone that does something like this, that's it, you're finished. Because today, the answer is not because it's not right and wrong, because no one really knows today what's right and what's wrong. And today in the world, there are different conventions of how you take justice, how you exact justice.
Aren't we told the brothers did the correct thing when they sold Yosef? They had
Bezdin. Did the correct thing? You don't sell your brother. What? It was a corrupt Bezdin. That was an act of corruption.
This is not corrupt.
That's
this
right.
Didn't even have a Bezdin.
That's right.
Push is deaf. They didn't make
there were
decision.
No Gea Bedavar. Anytime you know Gea Bedavar, you are not allowed to render a decision. The brothers have no right to render a decision. Again, one brother has no right to render an Eidos. An Eidos, you're not allowed to testify against your own brother. Your brother, your father, your seven relatives, and it's also because you're Nogei Bedavar. This is not Nogei Bedavar. This was his grandfather. It's a fact. No, Hushim Ben Don. Hushim Ben Don. Don, the grandfather. And this was...
But the brothers, the fathers were all there, right?
The fathers, they do not. The children were there. They didn't do it because, as I said, that's Chazal say, because they were manipulated. Chushman was not. Let's not dwell upon this.
He's an uncle. I feel he's an uncle.
Okay. You have some.
The head of Yosef rolled into the
head of Esav. Head of Esav.
I'm sorry. Yeah. The head of Esav rolled into the kever, so Rav Aaron said, you see that his head
belonged there.
Yeah.
His head, not the body. The potential was there.
He could have been.
Esav is an extremely complex person. It's not just Stam a guy in the street. Esav was beyond our understanding.
Yes.
Look at Korach. They all say, all the big people say that all of us in this generation were living in the time of Korach. There was not even a shadow of a doubt. Not even a hobby, everyone would run after Korach. Korach was so charismatic, so sophisticated, and so brilliant. It was a no-brainer that Korach is right and Moshe is wrong.
He said, "Well, Kleinfeld is Kodesh."
It's not only that; it was everything about him. And the whole Klal Yisrael in an instant would have flocked to him. And it was a miracle. The whole thing that happened was an incredible miracle. How Hashem intervened that you can be right, but you're dead wrong. It may appear to be right, and it's a very big, great Musar Haskel for life. Everything in life seems to be so clear cut, and this is how it's supposed to be, and it's not. And it takes decades, it takes centuries to come to the realization that we thought to be. It's clear as day. This is the MS. We were fooled. We were fooled. This is not MS. What we think is good for us is a horror down the line. And there are hundreds of examples of this.
I always make a point of saying when Moshe said, Mila Hashem Elai, Korach was on Moshe's side. Okay.
Mila Hashem Elai, Korach.
My school of Kobanele.
Originally, Korach also.
We have someone raising the
school. A couple of observations. One is, it seems to me there's an analogy to in the story of sometimes you have to think outside the box. And sometimes the establishment isn't always right. That's one thing. The other thing is that in a
swift.
No, because see, he didn't. They say of people who lose one of their senses that their other senses become heightened. And here he sensed that there's something really wrong here that others didn't sense.
Very interesting. Very, very fascinating. Very fascinating. He had a heightened sense of clarity. Listening, Shmi, always associated with understanding. Shma Yisrael. Haskes u'shma Yisrael. So if it was lacking in the physical sense of hearing, and this principle is true, that there's the compensation, there's something, another part of the brain that becomes super active. So if hearing is related to understanding, his sense of clarity, understanding, perhaps, could have been heightened in this situation. Interesting. Okay, let's go further. Chushim ben Don, Karas, Chanof, Rosh, Esau, Chosim, Kabbalim, Shenik, Tzitzu, Gam, Horaglayim. How do you like that? This you never heard before. You ever hear this before? That when Chushim ben Don cut off his head, he also, or it worked, cut off the Kabbalim, tell us, Shenik, Tzitzu, Gam, Horaglayim, the legs of Esau were also chopped off. V'zehu katoin b'li roish v'raglayim. That's why we're calling him here these katoin. What does it mean katoin? He's lacking a head and lacking feet. How does that mean lacking? Ad kan divrehem. V'efshar lirmois b'masha kosa b'zoi ha-kadosh chile gimel daf reish men beis. Ki konehu sitra da'achra. V'yishover regal kuf. V'nishar heina. You have three letters. Koneh. Koneh means what's a kone? A reed? Yeah. A reed. Each branch, the branch of the menorah, is a staff. A kone, who sitra achra. The word kone is really a code word for the satan. The yeshav regel kuf. Take off the regel of the kuf. What are you left with? Hey, no. You make the kuf into a hay. You see that? If you go and you cut the kuf, the regal of the kuf goes all the way down. If you remove the part of the regal of the kuf that goes below the margin, below the baseline, then the kuf turns into it. So you cut off the regal, the yeshaver regal kuf, the nishar hena, the hu ha-geula, hine Hashem elokim b'chazak yavoy, Hashem will come with strength. Ayin Sham. All right, I mean, I'm not really sure. Whatever this means over here, he's telling us over here that Esav's legs and head were cut off. So there's no head here. Where's the head? Where's the head? There is, I don't know what we're talking about the head, but at least the regular of the Kaneh. Why is Esav called a Kaneh? Where did the word Kaneh come from? How does that sound? Kaneh is the Sitra Achra, he says. Why is that so? I do not know. But when you cut off the regular of the Kuf, the Raglayim, then it turns into Hena, and Hena is a code word for the coming of Mashiach. How do you know that? Hine Hashem Elokim b'chazak elo ayin sham. Mezeu shama Hine ma shahoyi kane b'roshay tevois. Hine katoin nisaticha. Here we have the first three letters, Hey Kuf Nun, which is Yihyeh Hena, v'oz Yihyeh Katoin. So Hey Kuf Nun is what? Is the word koneh. The first three letters, hey, kuf, nun, spell koneh. And when it says now, v'ozye kotoin, and then when the koneh will be kotoin by removing the legs, bozui, it will be despised, v'yifre yesha goyel Yisrael, and Mashiach will arrive. Not Esav. It says, hine, it's totally zeh, zeh kish, zeh kom, Zenoifel, it's totally Zebzeh. When Esav is decimated, then the Mashiach comes. Let's now go, we're done with Aleph and Beis, now we go to Pasuk Gimel.
Does often mean suddenly?
It means unexpected.
Yeah.
Where's the proof to that? The proof is that Yitzchak, Rivka, by Yisroi, Yitzhu, Habonim, Bekibor, Tem, Lekim, Elom, Zenochi, Vatech, Lidosh, Elokim. She went to go, so what did Elokim tell her? Shem tell her? Shnei goyim b'vidnech. U'shnei l'umim b'me'ayach yiporedu l'om b'lom yematz v'rav yavoy tzoyer. So what is the common main, how do you understand that pasuk? She went to Shem, and Shem knew how to do a sonogram. He did a sonogram, and what did he tell her? You got twins. You're carrying twins. Shnei, explicit. I did a sonogram, and I see here you got two kids. Shnei goyim. And I can tell from my holiness is that one's going to be a tzaddik, one's going to be a rasha. Ulo'oim milam yamatz. Isn't that what it simply means? If that is the correct interpretation, then it says a few psukim later, I don't remember the pasuk, when she gave birth, it says, Vihinei soimim bivitna. Behold, there were twins in her belly. Why does the pasuk use the word vihinei? Shame told her explicitly, Shenei goyim bivitneich. He told her explicitly, you're having twins. The word vihinei does not belong here. Hinei in Tanakh, look at Tanakh, study Tanakh, you will discover it always refers to the unexpected. Like Mashiach will come, why is Mashiach called hinei? Why is Mashiach the code word, according to the Chidah, the code word for Mashiach, hinei, behold, Mashiach is coming, because the word Mashiach will come behesech hadas. At the least expected moment. Unexpected.
It just appeared.
If Hinei Leia, I thought it was marrying Rachel. Whoever you study a pasuk, Hinei always means the unexpected. Never imagine. Hinei, Mashiach is called Hinei because Mashiach is unexpected. Mashiach will come at a moment of Hesech Hadas, the least moment when you expect him to come. That to prove that, so then the question goes back to Rivka. Vihinei, it wasn't unexpected. She had the reports. She had the X-rays, right? The sonogram reports, the twins. So the Teretz says we're learning wrong pshat in the pasuk.
Right.
When Shem said to Rivka, Shnei goyim bivineich, he didn't mean to tell her, in your belly there are twins. You have, maybe, I don't know what the sonogram says, but you have, you may have one child. One child is in your belly. From that one child, 100 years down the line, there'll be a chassidim. They'll fight, and they'll split. There'll be a period, and they'll turn into two nations, 45 and 48. The Zalis and the Ironis. You'll have a split. The day will come. Not now. You have to first go through the steps of Yoel, of Moshe. You have to first go through the steps until you get to the matzav of having a split, right? I don't think it's a chil Hashem to have such things going on like this. So you have to wait for the split. So that's what Shari told her. So then what happened? She gave birth to Hinei. Now it already started. There are two twins. I have twins. They did not know what to make of this. They did not know, maybe when Shem said there are two nations, it means it has already started. Or maybe what it means, no. There's one of these two, like was plan A. In 100 years, 1,000 years will split. The other one, listen, with each of the Shvatim, Chazal say there was a twin born. Right, there was a twin.
Right.
Kai and Hevel are twins, and no, twins is not a big deal. The twin was like just the psilas. This was the machlekes. This was the big, very big dilemma. What is the significance of Vihinei? We didn't think she would have twins. She thought she was having one child, and the brach of the Shnei Goyim Bevidneich would be fulfilled years later. There'll be a split.
Yeah, because that's Pshat be Rav Yavol Tzvir. You're making time. There's an older and a younger. Maybe.
So what does it mean then? I mean, does it mean right now? So that's why even there, when it says vihine, it is the unexpected. So Mashiach here is defined with the word. At least we take that out of the. At least take that away from the. Even if all this Kabbalah and Yanim, which are really not shaykh to, but at least to appreciate one silver lining of all this, the pasuk in Yeshaya, the pasuk that the Chaim HaSanach says is the pasuk that is the code for Yimos HaMashiach. It begins with the word hine, because the word hine means the unexpected. A Mashiach bo ella behesech hadas. Now we go to Pasuk Gimel and Dalet. Pasuk Gimel begins Zidayin libcha, the Zidayin libcha hishi echa. We're now describing the bad midos, the midos rois of Esav Harashim. The Zidayin libcha, the Zidayin means The Zadai means the arrogance or the wickedness. The wickedness, the stubbornness. The word Zadon is a very, very hard word to translate in this context. The Targum really probably says it all. And he says the word Resha, the wicked, wickedness. It's not really the word Zadon. Zadon is not, it's not a literal translation. This fellow who we had, who came and spoke last week to us about Sepharim. Okay, I was fighting with him. I was having a good argument with him because he showed me his Sefer, and he showed me the Targum does one of three things. Either it just literally translates the word, and then sometimes he adds Perush into the word, and sometimes he translates the word in an unusual way. Basically, he broke down his son's Sefer, into three. Every word of Targum is color-coded one of three colors. Either it's going to be a padded word, a word that's not in the pasuk, which the Targum has added, or it's going to be an exact literal translation that's a different color, or it's a translation that's not a perfect translation. It's a translation, the Targum is translating the word with a little bit of spice and pepper. He could have translated the word, he could have had a list. Sometimes on the side of the page, he writes there, on the safe, he writes there like five different words, candidates, that from our perspective, we would assume that the Targum had a choice of. There are four, if you were the Targum, and someone gave you the task of doing what he did, there would be five candidates for a certain word. And the Targum selected this particular word. So that was the third color in his code system. Again, either it's one color for an exact translation, another color when the Targum adds in new words, embellishes interpretation that's not in the pasuk itself, and the third color for when the Targum does not literally translate the word, but he translates the word from a list of different possible words. So I was arguing with him that there were only two colors. Because I was trying to show that some of the colors, some of the words that the Targum translated it which in according to his system appears to be a very literal translation, not necessarily. I was trying to argue with him that, look, even when you put in this color that you interpret this to be the most literal translation, not necessarily. If you think about it and you even look at the prefix and the suffix of some of the words that are literal in the Targum, that itself is an interpretation in the Targum. So I was trying. There's only two color codes. It's fantastic. I was joking with him.
Obviously,
yes.
There's the literal and the interpretation.
Right, but I was trying to show him that even in the literal, it's such a fine line. It's such a fine line to say, though, that this word in the Targum is the most literal translation. If it's not the same exact letters, bidiyuk, exactly the same letters, then you can't tell me it's the literal translation. Because even if you use the same letters, but the way he manipulates the vowels and adds a prefix with a vav can also change the meaning of the word. Also, can allow interpretation. Okay, so I just joking with you. Like, it's true. You know, this color doesn't mean it's literal. It means it's closer than the other situation. So here you have Rashi. The one over here, it says we have a word zidoin. Zidoin is a very hard word to translate in English and Hebrew, all languages. And here the Targum chose a very powerful word, which is not. I don't think it's something that you really expect. And it is a lot of interpretation. Resha, the wickedness, the zedayin libucha, the wickedness. Because if you literally can say zedayin means the will, the zedayin means the desire, the will, not exactly, but the conviction. Okay, I don't know. That's so off. Zedayin libucha. Let's say someone would translate in English: the conviction of your heart, the conviction.
But it's a pejorative.
Okay, so all right, so the slanted, your slanted, zadu asher zadu acharein. They were wicked. We normally translate. But it's an interpretation. I don't know if you have to study Tanakh, whole Tanakh, and see. You have to say the whole Tanakh and see the word zedayin always means wicked. Wicked means evil. There are different madregos of evil. Resha is the highest. That's a very significant statement to say someone's a Rasha. You don't understand call a person a Rasha. You're looking for trouble.
Connotation is lahachis.
What? Right.
The connotation is
it's a very powerful word to say something. We have mered and pesha. Right? Ovoin pesha. We say chotosi or visi poshati. What is a visi? I did it willingly. I knew it's wrong and I did it anyway. And then there's that's called ovoinus pesha. What's pesha? Lahachas. I did a lahach. I did it, Hashem. I did it just to rebel against you. I did a lahachas. Then it's even merit. It's even worse. There are many different words. Resha is high up there. Okay? And Zedoin, Targum is saying a chiddush. You can't deny the fact. Saying a chiddush, it means Resha libicha hishi echa. It led you astray. It led you astray. Your wickedness led you astray. What's the pasuk say about it?
Hishiani.
The Nachash, he incited, he persuaded me. What's a better word? He enticed me. Sheikhni v'chagve sela miroim shifto. The one that lives in the clefts of the rock, miroim shifto, whose place is exalted. In other words, this means that you feel secure. A person who lives in the clefts of the rock, and his habitat, Shiftoi, is Maroim. Maroim is exalted. You felt that you are impervious, you are indestructible, you are secure, you are a superpower. You have the most expensive toys, the most expensive tanks and missiles and artillery. Oimer Belibo, the one who says in his heart, Mi Yoyrideni Oretz, who can possibly bring me down? Can throw me down to the earth. I am exalted, I am powerful. What?
The
heights. Right. Niroi means his dwelling place is all the way up, high up.
Penthouse.
Right, all the way up on top. I'm the boss. I am in charge. I am in a place where no one can reach me. I am above, I'm above everyone else. I am more powerful than everyone else. We have two different, again, one was Sheikhni V'chagri Sela, you, Esav, Edad. You live in the cleft of the rock, which is an expression which means that you are secure. You live in a bunker. You're in a place where no one can reach you. Miroim shifto, your habitat is miroim, is exalted. It's high up. No one can get there. No one can touch you. You're better than everyone else. And you're full of gaiva, unbelievable. You say in your heart, there's no one that can take me down. No one can take me down. I am indestructible. So Hashem responds. What is the response? Im tagbia kanesher, don't have an inflated ego. Although you may rise all the way high like a nesher. Now this is a very important pasuk because here is the makor that we learned that the nesher is the creature which flies to the highest heights. We like to translate the word nesher as an eagle. Okay, it cannot possibly be an eagle because Chazal say the nesher from all the 24 birds that are not kosher is the only bird which has all four simonim that make it into an oif tame. In order for a bird to be an oif tame, it has to have only one of four possible simonim that make it into a non-kosher bird. What are the simonim? Number one, it's a mida, it's a predator. A bird that's a predator, finished, not kosher. Number two, it has to have to be non-kosher, it has to have an extra toe. Does a vulture, that's another simon that makes the bird not kosher. Number three and four are internal things. The kurkavon is niklaf, and it has a cry, it has a zepek. That means it has a storage center for its food, a zepek, and kurkavonoi, the organ in the bird which grinds the food, can be peeled. There are two layers. So it does not have those things, right? A bird that's not kosher, right? A bird that's kosher is, we just learned the daf, I'm not going to forget this, a bird that's not kosher, those are the four, whatever they are, those are the four different things. As those four different items, that's a predator, a crop, it's korkavon, the gizzard can be peeled, and an extra toe on its leg. Four toes, not three. The nesher has all four. The nesher has all four of these simonim. It is the bird which is by which the bird which the Gemara says which is the most not kosher. All four simonim. You only need one simon to be a non kosher bird. The nesher has all four. The problem is that the eagle does not have an extra toe. The eagle is lacking the extra toe. Or maybe the other way around. How far does it go? It does have. Doesn't have. It has. It's the other way around. In order for it to be, it has, right? So if it has the extra toe, that means it's not kosher. So if it has the extra toe, so there's no way in the world the nesher can be the eagle. Because the eagle, the common eagle that we have, it doesn't match up with what the Gemara says. So therefore, someone wants to suggest that the nesher is a vulture. It is a vulture, not an eagle. And others want to say that the nesher is like a leviathan. It is not a bird. It's not a bird that we are familiar with. It is a mystical bird. Like the Shor Shehikrev Adam Arishayim, Kerenach HaSoye Bekarnav, had one horn, a unicorn. Or you have the Leviathan, or the Tachash. What is the Tachash? Or the Re'aim. What is the Re'aim? All of these strange animals. Okay, he's a big expert. Nothing significant. Every Nassim is a big expert in these matters. All of these strange animals. Many, after everything is said and done, we really do not know what these animals are. He tries to say that the Re'aim is a giraffe. He has a whole big piece on this. It's a certain type, certain variety of giraffe. That's what he holds that the Re'aim is. I'm learning with Rabbi Shriven, and he gives a shir in Chumash. He goes through everything in such detail, and he gives these very elaborate handouts. And we spent a whole week on this. What is the Re'aim? What exactly is the Re'aim, this creature? And it's fascinating what all the Rishonim say about the Re'aim. And it really comes out that it's a mystical creature, a creature that we really don't know much about. Likewise, the Nesher in the bird category is a creature that is beyond our understanding. It's not something that we are familiar with. But one thing we do know about it, that the Nesher flies the highest. It's the highest flying creature. Ve'esa eschem al kanfei nesharim ve'avi eschem eloi. Hashem says, by Yitzias Mitzrayim, I'll carry you on the wings of the Nesher. So what creature, and that what happened exactly? There's a tradition that tells us that at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, we all boarded the Nesher, we were taken to Eretz Yisrael, and we ate there the Korban Pesach, and then the Nesher brought us back to Mitzrayim to go through the steps. And very, very interesting medrash. But the Nesher obviously is some type of mystical creature which Hashem carried us upon, Vo'avi Eschem Eloi, and it flies very, very high. And Rashi tells us what is the unique characteristic of the Nesher. It carries its children on top of its wings. All other birds carry its children below its wings. Why? Why? Because all birds recognize that there are birds that fly above it. Therefore, if they carry their children safely on their wings, there is a concern that a bird that's flying above it will see the children, will swoop down and kidnap the children. So you don't want to leave your children vulnerable on your wings, on the top of your wings, in the open eyesight of another bird that's flying above you. Therefore, all birds take their children, carry them below their wings, so that it should not be visible to creatures flying above. The Nesher does not have that problem, because the Nesher flies on top of everyone. It's the highest flying creature. There's nothing above it. There's no fear of anything will come. Any other creature will come and swoop its children. Therefore, it's secure. It puts the children on top of its wings exposed. So here the pasuk says, if you, Edom, believe that you are equivalent to the Nesher, you can fly above everyone else, and you can leave all of your possessions exposed, knowing because there's nothing that nothing, no one's going to come and harm you anyway. Ve'im bein klechavim sim kinecha, even if you will put your nest amongst the stars, like we do today, we have space stations. We have, even Israel has launched, what happened with that thing? Did it ever get there yet? How many months did it take to get to the moon? Their spaceship. April? Why does it take so long? To go to orbit? So if you'll go and you'll put your nest amongst the stars, sin kinecha, misham oiridcha num Hashem, I will take you down from there. When they read this pasuk, probably even just 100 years ago, it was purely meant to understood allegorically. If you'll put your nest amongst the stars. Today, this is no joke. Today, this can be translated very literally. Okay, they send out stuff every day. I don't know, every day, but NASA sends out stuff all over. Stuff, you know, what's going on out there? The mamish putting their nest amongst the stars. And this is a gaiva that we think we have control of the universe. Hashem says, Edoim, you may think you can rise above the earth. You may think you can put your nest, a space station, in all parts of the world. Don't get too carried away with yourself. Hashem is in control. Misham, from there, I'll take you down. Yeah. The Meroim Shiftai. The Meroim Shiftai, it's an exalted place. Okay, we don't want to say that because there are a lot of Jews who died. It's a symbol of power. It's a symbol of the world house, the financial center of the world. The financial center of the world in Lower Manhattan. Okay, it's been said. It has been said such a thing. Okay, whatever this means. Okay, so this is Bechagve, the Meroim Shiftai. These are two Pesukim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is coming up here and giving a very powerful warning. The Edom Pasuk Gimel telling us they're describing their Gaiva. Pasuk Dal is telling us Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do to them. These are two very famous Pesukim. Let's see them very slowly in the Mefarshim. Pasuk Gimel first in the Mitzudos David, page 384. Zidoin Libucha He He She Echa has enticed you. Let's first look over here at, Mitzvah David. This means to say, when he says Ka'imer, it's like saying Kaloimar, or like saying Rav Kaloimar, and that means be expected to learn something that's not literal. We're not going to go through the literal translation of the Pasuk. We have a deeper translation. And he says here, Ka'imer, Hine Ata Shenis Gadalta Limshal Mimshal Rav. Now that you have been exalted to rule over the world, to have authority, dominion over the world, kasher bosa elakrach hagadol, like one comes to a very big city, l'chein therefore, zedon libucha his sis ischol his ka'os yosem midai. When you achieve success, it's only natural that you become arrogant. Your heart has enticed you. Your heart has led you astray because of your success. You fooled yourself in believing koichi v'oitzem yodi, and that's why it's very, very powerful words here, what the Mitzudos David is explaining. You have to read the words backwards. Shoichni b'chag ve'sela. Miroim shiftai. We have to read those words first. It's true, it's a fact, that you have been successful. You, Edom, have achieved an exalted state of success. You live in the cleft of the rocks, which means that you are secure. Miroim shiftai. You are exalted, and therefore, how do you look at this? You say to yourself, "It's because I'm brilliant, I'm smarter than everyone else, I'm more passionate about life, I'm better, I'm just a better person. I'm a supremacist. I'm a supremacist. I am superior to man." A person comes to feel that arrogance because he achieves success. Sasha, and therefore, that's now the beginning of the pasuk. Your success has caused hishi'echa. The subject of the word hishi'echa is the shechni v'chag v'sela m'roim shifto. The success has taken you and been used as a tool by your heart to lead you astray to become arrogant. Now notice, he does not say, he translates the word zedoin to mean limshol mimshol rav. Okay, isn't that what it means over here? Not necessarily. Let's go for it. I'm a little bit confused though. We went through the Targum. The Targum translates the word zedoin to mean wickedness. As we expressed, it's a very powerful word. Is that the way the Mitzudos Dov is translating the word zedoin libcha? Is that how we translate the word zedon? It means your resha? I don't think so. The Mitzudos Sion very cleverly decided to pass and not translate the word zedon. Very uncharacteristic of the Mitzudos to pass a good opportunity to tell us a translation of a word. But he did so. He totally passed. And then when it comes to the Mitzvah David, he writes, well, you know what? I don't want to be literal here. Ke'oimer. Ke'oimer means this is not going to be a literal translation. It's a hine, behold, ata now, sheniskadalta. Limshol, mimshol, rat. It appears what he's saying here is...
By the way, the Onkelos translates the word, you know, the zidur, as yarshir.
That's what I said, right. The Onkelos
and
the Chumash.
Are they the same one?
Of course, yeah. Yes, of course. Yeah. It's like the Maam. The Tzion is telling you the literal translation, and Mitzvah David, he tells you the pshat. Of course, they're the same person. Like the Malm also. The Malm also, the same thing, is the same style. The Malm has the Malm is the Ber Hamilos, where he tells you the literal translation of the word, and then he tells you the Pshat, the Ber Ha'in, he tells you the Pshat. It's very common. You see this very common. All of the modern Svarim today, they copy this. All the modern Svarim today, like they copy this theme, where they tell you that one parish is the more literal, and then there's the more broader, with the overview of what is going on. So it appears here, if I'm not mistaken, the Mitzudos, The Mitzudos David here is not translating the word Zidoin to mean Resha. It would appear that he's translating the word Zidoin Libicham to mean Yeah. That's what it appears. The Gaiva, the arrogance, Lehiska Os Yoser Midai. To become arrogant more than, not the wickedness. It seems that he's not following with the Targum.
One leads to the other,
but it's a very different word. Resha, to be wicked, is not the same thing as being arrogant. Okay, there are many arrogant people that you can't really say they're wicked. It's just they're full of themselves. You can't say they're wicked. Okay, but when you're dealing with Edom, when you're dealing with Moshe HaMashiach, what's going to happen to them, it's a very different translation. The translation has cosmic differences in understanding who is Esav, if you want to just say it's at face value, wicked. Zidon Libcha, or you want to say it's arrogance. It's a different medicine. You got to give them a different medicine, people who are wicked versus a person who's arrogant.
You don't have to go that far. I mean, Haman, these psukim are applied to Haman as well.
Excellent. So Haman was both. Haman was clearly both. Okay, but in this pasuk itself, we have to look at the exact translation of the word. Let's go further. Shaykhni ki ilu ata shaykhin, it's as if you're living in the kue hasela, in the cleft of the rock, achla yuchal mi likrev elecha non come near you, uchi ilu hoye mekoyim moishavai b'mokoyim moroyim v'nisa, it's as if your habitat is in a place that is exalted, and no one can come near you, no one can attack you. Oymer b'libo l'chein choyshev, you think b'libo, mi hu asher yuchal l'chayrid oisiv b'sheth al-aretz, who can go and lower me to the ground? Pasuk Dalit, Hashem's response is, im tagbiya kanesher, aval im tagbiya l'sheves kanesher, you're making a big mistake. Even if you're like a nesher, that goes even higher, goes in the sky. You'll be delivered in the hands of the enemy. Okay, so those are the two psukim. I want to make one point before we go further than that. Is Moshe Rabbeinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to reveal to Moshe Rabbeinu the ultimate revelation. Moshe said to Hashem, Hareini no es kivoidecha. We're going to learn it this week, Tainus Esther. Hareini no es kivoidecha. So what does Hashem say to Moshe? I can't show you my ponim. I can show you lo yuchaliros es ponai, but you can see v'ri'isa es acharai. And what does Hashem do? Hashem says, I want you to go and to sit or to stand in the cleft of the rock, and I will put my hand over you. Hashem tells him, hine mokoyim iti. Can you say the pasuk with my heart? And before that, it's okay. The psukim there mentions that Hashem says there's a mokoyim iti. If you want to be able to see Hashem, there is a mokam. Hashem tells man, Moshe, who is the collective neshama of the entire Klal Yisrael. Yes, it was his yard site. I didn't know this yesterday. This Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a minug that anyone whose yahrzeit is not known, if there's a person who died and the yahrzeit is not known, it's to commemorate the yahrzeit on Zayin Adar, on the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama represents the neshama of the entire Klal Yisrael. It's a very interesting idea, because there are many people... What?
Harazation, the Israeli army has a tekis
of our soldiers. Yeah, they don't know when they died, and when they observe the yahrzeit. Because we don't see this. You don't hear about this. Because like many examples of people who died in the Holocaust, they make it an approximation. Approximation to when it occurred. It's a minig on Tisha B'Av, the Chassam Sofer on Tisha B'Av. He would dwell on all of the people who died that previous year. He dedicated Tisha B'Av as a day of mourning for Talmidei Chacham. It's not exactly the same. But there is such a thing of observing a yahrzeit for a person whose yahrzeit is not known. And this is extremely common in the survivors of the war. They did not know the yahrzeits, the day of death, of their relatives. And everyone does something different. Many of them approximate, and they take a day, and that's the end. They take an approximation. A town. So they take a day, an approximation. I guess that's better than just taking Zainada. But when you have a person who died... A person who died, you do not know when he died, period. Then you observe Zayin Adar. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama is the collective neshama of the Gans Klal Yisrael. Now Hashem says to Moshe, who represents Klal Yisrael, Hinei Mokoim Iti. Is the place in this world where you can be with me. And where is that? Benikras Hatzur. Why did Hashem select Benikras Hatzur? In a cleft, in a rock. It's the same thing over here, but Chag Vesela, it's the same idea. Chag Vesela in this pasuk clearly refers to security. A place of safety and security. We're using this here against Esav. Esav, in your arrogance, you think that you are indestructible. You live in a place called Chag Vesela Miroim Shiftai. In your physical power, your prowess, you think you're indestructible. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, to be safe and secure, the symbolism of HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Moshe Rabbeinu to stand in the Chag VeHasela, a person of faith, is the most secure creature on this world. A person that can be a pauper, can be sick and weak, but if he is, Hinei Mokoim Iti, if you are with me, if you are willing to be there when I pass over and I reveal myself to you, you're willing to have faith in me, Moshe says to Hashem, Tzadik viraloi. And Hashem says, there is no answer to your question. The answer is, have faith. V'ri'isa es achorayu fonai lo yera'u. The day will come when you'll understand, but not now. Have faith. Such a person, you know where your mokoyim is in this world? What's the symbolism? Your symbolism is benikras hatsur. You're in a little scratch in a rock. What is the word in nikras hatsur? Well, if you go to this pasuk in Avadi, it's very clear what that means. It means you will live a life of safety and security. Security and safety is having emuna in Hashem. It's not like the Esav who has a space station, Mars. That's not called safety and security. Safety and security is Hinei Mokoi Miti. When Hashem passes and Hashem puts his hand, I will lay my hand upon you in this rock. That's safety and security, Emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's at least one lesson we can take out of this pasuk. Okay, let's just take a quick look at Rashi pasuk Gimel, two very short Rashi Shech Nimchag Yasela, Soimech Al Mishenes Avoisav Avraham Yitzchak. Incredible, incredible, shocking Rashi. Shocking Rashi, how he fantaiches what it means, Edom. Edom takes very great pride in their yichus. They are the descendants of Abraham and Jacob, and Isaac. Because Esav is, indeed, he has a Zayda, Avraham Avinu. And Esav has Yitzchak. So they do indeed take pride. They have pride. They have Jewish pride. The Goyim, Soimech. And that's called the Chag VeHasela in Rashi's interpretation. The Chag VeHasela is a metaphor for the rocks. Who are the rocks? Hashem, who are the rocks in Klal Yisrael? The Avos. The Avos. Soymech al Mishenes, the support of Avosav, Avraham the Yitzchak. But Hashem's response is, sorry, buddy. Veheim lo yu'ilu loy. They don't take pride in you. And therefore, they are not going to come to your assistance. It's not going to be a schus. Where do you see they do not take pride in you? Because Hashem says in the next pasuk that I'm going to take you down. But the Sheikh Nebi Chagve Selim Reim Shiftoi, that is what is she Echa misled you to believe I will be okay and secure because Avraham and Yitzhak will protect us. Chagve Kimovahoy Sad Masihuda Limitraim Lichogov. Lichoga. Now Lichoga means, so he's telling us the word to be a
He says dread.
So he's telling us the chagve, not a clef. He's giving a new interpretation. A new interpretation, the altisma al vav shel chagve, she kivav shel katzve. The vav is not part of the shirish. So he's telling us the chagve sela will be you'll be destroyed. It'll be like how does it translate in English? The word the rash translation from Yeshaya. That passage is quoted from Yeshaya.
The land of Judah shall be to Egypt for a dread.
A dread of fear.
Yeah,
a fear.
Dreaded. So,
a dreaded fear in the rock. Okay, let's see how the Sif Zei Zekeim explains this.
Then he's saying it's a two-letter Shoresh.
Let's see. The Sif Zei Zekeim explains. Look, go down four lines down. And the Sif Zei Zekeim on the right side. Reitze bezeh. Ki chagvei, v'katzvei, v'tachavei, hei mishoresh chogo, v'kotzo v'tocho, u'v'kibutz l'zuchonim nebcha, when you, the collective noun, nebcha ha-hei lamed apoyel levav, the Amr Chagvei Kaili, he's just telling us how the Vav gets in there, V'kal Lahavin. V'nishtaneh, go further down. He's just telling us the grammar, how this word, the Loidir, he's just telling us the grammar. He's not telling us Pshat. He's not telling us Pshat. I'm not a little clear exactly what I'm trying to say over here. He's telling us over here is going to be the Chagvei Sela L'mitram L'chago. Okay, I don't know. I apologize to you. I didn't prepare this. I have to go back and see what it says in Yeshaya and understand what he's trying to say over here. What exactly is trying to say here? I do not know. My fault.
It sounds like he's saying two different things in Rashi.
Right. I'm not
sure. The first one is more of a, I don't know, where he says it's something fearful. And
it appears the beginning.
Talks about the cleft in the rock.
Right. So the Chagvei Asel of Rem Shiftai appears to explain that we are the Ovis, security. Similar to the Mitsudais. Similar to the Targum. Targum clearly says Bishinei Chefa, okay, in the teeth of the rock, which also means security. Okay, everyone seems to say it means security. He seems to be saying something a little bit different over here. Different, but then the second parish, the Nias Chagve, he seems to be going off on a tangent. Maybe not. Maybe I have to go to the pasuk and see exactly what he means over there. Okay, we have to see what it means. All right, we're running out. Let's just maybe we're a doc. We have a time over here. No, not really. I'll have to leave this for. We're going to have to leave this for Monday, the Yer Sasha. Okay? We'll continue on Monday.
Today's the Yer Sider, Shmuel David Yungar, 1987 of the.
He also says, if you look at Mid, it says, if you look at Midrash, the hill, I'm not sure I'm also saying, not Yeller, I'm going to go with three. Look at that. Similar to what Rashi was just saying. The school all up here, and why does he just go in the portion of the mayor's boy? Is before the Debo comes by Yikor suddenly over here. I think it was Shmo said, for your boy Michelle, or whoever you know, you should kind of look at it. It's great to come to the moment. People of the nation, God told us, and now we have to call him and say, come on, you've reached a new level. So now, because he reached a new level, now he was overcome with enough to say, oh, I can even come in now.
Thank you.
How come then you are
That's you're correct. You're right. You're 100% right. 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 You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. See you. Thank you.
Oh, you done? You got to read it?
Not now. I gave it to him.
Yeah.
He read it right away. He starts reading.
You finished it?
No, no. And I told him before.
Yeah.
Okay, Rabbi, so let's learn some Chumash today.